Blog Talk Radio.
Melissa Ambers presents the best and hottest show on Blog Talk Radio, Gotham Talk, where we talk to entertainers, business owners, comedians, and everybody who's somebody about what they're doing right. We're bringing you the best conversations regarding business, current affairs, and how it relates to you. Buckle up, it's going to be a great show.
Hello, we're on Gossip Talk, and today we're going to talk to Shemette. She is an author, playwright, and she has some awesome plays that's been in production. Hi, Shemette, how are you?
I'm well, and yourself?
I am great. So tell us a little bit about yourself. How did you get started with writing or getting into production?
Well, that was a loaded question. Well, I got started in doing stage plays, understanding what my calling was. I happened to be sitting in prayer one day, and the Holy Spirit said, "Do you know what your calling is? And you know how you pray and you ask God, what is my calling, God? What am I supposed to be doing?" Well, he actually told me that my calling was in the art, taking on a platform and ministering in the arts. But then he took it on another level where I now became an author as well. So I started off writing stage plays and doing stage plays, and now I am an author of two books.
Wow. The plays, were they for you or you were writing for someone else?
No, they were for me. They were downloaded. Me. The first big one we did, because I would do a lot of stage plays in the churches, being a drama director in a couple of different churches, and then God just took it on another level because he said, so many people, I need you to reach the masses, and so many people won't come to church, but they will come and see a play. And the first piece I wrote titled, the big one was Mama. And we did that one at the Stafford Center back in 2003. Got great reviews on it. We ran it 5 times after that. And so with that, just seeing what God told me to do, because Mama was a stage play designed to bring healing through dramatic interpretation between a mother and a son.
Okay. What came to you to write that play?
Seeing abuse, understanding that what abuse does, because God told me again with Shamelessly Saved Productions, that's the name of the production company, he told me that it was Shamelessly Saved, that they bear no more guilt, they bear no more shame. And so in doing so, he told me that I needed to minister to abused and neglected children in order to bring the healing that is needed, and so that these children won't continue to self-destruct. Normally, a child that's been abused, they go grow up and they become abusers. But God loves us enough to stop the abuse and to help the child know that you bear no shame, you bear no guilt. This was not your fault. However, I can't afford for you to allow this pain to shut you down where you are self-destructing right before my very eyes. So
wow.
That's what led me to write that play. Just seeing abuse and dysfunction in my own family, and wanting to help save those that I was watching self-destruct, even myself. You know, it's funny how pain lies dormant for an appointed time. That's,
wow.
That's the best way I could put that. It lies dormant for an appointed time. And sometimes we suppress things and we bury things and we don't realize those things are hidden in our hearts until something triggers it.
Mm-hmm.
And so with that, when I began to sit down and write Mama, realizing that, you know, some of the things she was going through, because God asked her the question, no matter what you go through, would you still serve me? And she said yes. And so when she said yes, that's what opened up the enemy to her, because he said, let's drudge up all her pain. I want you to drudge up the rape. I want you to drudge up her past shame so we can keep her from knowing who she is, because once she knows who she is, she's going to raise havoc in our kingdom, and he didn't want that. So that's what the enemy does. God put us on this earth for a purpose, and we are destiny-driven. But if the enemy can keep us from knowing who we are, because he knows once we know that, man, we're going to tear down his kingdom.
Wow.
How many people have come to you after a play? And after could be, you know, right after, you know, one is done from, you know, weeks later. How many people have contacted you and said, you know, that did something for me, or that helped me get through a certain situation? How often do you have that to happen?
After every play, it's so many people that come out. I remember us doing the play in Beaumont. We did Mama in Beaumont, actually. And this lady cried the whole time. Other people were telling me about this young lady who just cried through the show. Well, she wrote me a note. And she told me that her son was incarcerated, and she could not bring herself to go and see him. But after seeing that play, it softened her heart, and she was able to go and see her son. That's what we do the plays for, because God says a picture says a thousand words. It's not to tear you down, but to build you up and to help you to see yourself. I didn't know that she was actually reliving her life through this play with this mother who chose not to see her son at this particular time. And when the officer said, if you don't go see him, he's going to die.
Wow.
And that broke her. And she was able to go and see him. So, you know, I've had, like, Teenage Playground of Love. That's one of the books I wrote, and we have a play to that one, too. I've had teenagers write me letters and tell me, wow, that was me. I was doing that. I've had mothers calling me crying and said, man, that helped me and my daughter to be able to communicate, because kids do a lot of hidden things that parents don't have a clue of what they're doing. We give them the pacifier of the world of technology. And once these kids tap into this, the enemy is right there on the other end to entice them so he can destroy them. And a lot of families, there was a lot of brokenness in the family. I found that after writing this play and putting this play on, when people started coming forward about what they saw on the stage and how it helped them and how it made them aware as parents.
Mm-hmm. During these plays, because not only are you the writer, you know, of everything that's going on that stage, how often do you take it on the road to just do public speaking at various, you know, it could be a shelter, teenage homes, you know, I mean, it's a variety of different places where you can take this. But how often do you just go public speaking about the abuse?
You know, I want to do it more than I'm doing it now. By me working in corporate America still, and by me, I also go into the inner city schools, and I do it there. That is my platform as well. I've gone into Fort Bend Juvenile Detention Center, and I work with some of their kids so that we could put on different snippets. And when I see these kids break down, because when I write, I just write what God tells me to write. But when I write it, I didn't realize how what I'm displaying to them is their life. And to see them break down, like we did this piece called I Cut Myself. We did it on a stage at one of the schools I worked at. And as we were reading through the script, the kids just started crying. And I was like, you guys okay? You know, we're just reading the script. And they were like, well, I know people like this, and I do this. And, you know, they just begin to open up. And when I tell you, they said that we want to put this play on this, and there wasn't a dry eye in the audience. because so many kids were trapped in a world of cutting themselves because of pain. So if I could do it full time, sis, oh, God knows that's my passion. I believe one day soon he's going to deliver me where I can go in and take the platform and deliver that message so we can help divert this. We love our kids. We don't want to see them self-destruct. We don't want the enemy to sift them as he's trying.
Absolutely. What inspired you to write "My Heart and the Holy Spirit Surrounded by Hell"? Wow, that's a powerful.
You know, thank you. I happen to be, you know, anytime any of us are called and we have a mandate on our lives to minister to people, you know, the enemy is running rampant. And so whatever the enemy can do to keep you off course, like I told you about Mama, and God asks the question, no matter what you go through, but you still serve me. So I went through a divorce. And that was the most painful experience that I have ever had to experience. I mean, I experienced my sister's death. That was very painful, too. However, just going through that, just to see that I went from a husband and kids to myself. It was just excruciating. And because my kids are adults now. That's why I said I went from a husband and kids, because my kids are grown now and on their own, and they have their own family. So it was just me left alone. I never lived by myself. But God told me, he said, I need you to write a book, and it's through your pain that you're going to deliver this message. And so when I began to write the book, I wrote it in with many, many tears, but to see the depths of God's love for us. Because God says what the enemy wants to do is to bring the pain to self, to destroy you, so that you can and others like you can self-destruct, so that depression can set in, so that betrayal can set in, so that bitterness and hatred can set in. Whatever is in our heart that is an enmity to God, God wanted to divert. He said, no, 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 I can't have this in your heart. You can't have hatred in your heart, because I am a God of love. And so in writing this book, it compelled me to show people that God is the great heart transplant surgeon that is ever known to us. And what he wanted to do is give us his heart in exchange for our wounded hearts, no matter what hell we go through. Because in this book, that chick goes through some hell.
Well, I mean, just looking at your title, I mean, that's just a powerful title in itself. You have, you know, your heart is broken because of the divorce. You're going through hell because of everything that you're going through, you know, that came along with it. And then you surrounded yourself by the Holy Spirit. So it's like that big ball of, you know?
Yeah, it was.
You had a big ball of just, you know, all of this in one. Wow. Yeah. Wow.
It was something. It was something to write. It really was. And it took me a year to write it. Normally, like Playground of Love, Teenage Playground of Love, that took me 90 days. But this particular piece, this took me a while, because every time I sat down to write it, and I did write pieces of it, I wrote it, like I said, in tears. It was so emotional for me. Even people who saw the play, they were like, we were sitting on the edge of our seats. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I interrupted you.
It seemed like it's just so personal. So, I mean, that makes sense for it to, you know, take you, you know, a longer time to write it and get it out the right way, you know, find the words. So, I mean, even though it took you a year, but look at what you got within a year.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, I had to move away from my home, and I was crying moving. I was like, God, you moved me away from my home, from everybody I know, and he moved me all the way to me. I call it a foreign land. I said, you moved me way out here. I'm steady crying. And he said, I need to isolate you, because there's something I need you to do. And that book was one of the things he needed me to do so that I can give birth to that book. And when you read the book, because I definitely want you to read the book, sis, when you read it, you'll begin to understand, because what happens and the first part of it is it's a conversation that God is having with his son, but he's also having a conversation with Lucifer. And Lucifer is coming in, and he says, look at these, your people, who you created to love and worship you and to respect you. They don't even respect themselves. They don't even love you. They don't even love themselves. And so he's dangling all these hearts. And so God gets sad. And when he looks away from Lucifer, and he has a tear in his eye. And when that tear hits earth, it sends a tremor in the earth realm. And so Jesus, which is known as Yeshua in the book, who is also known as Savior, he tells Lucifer he needs to leave. And then he tells God, he tells his father, let's do something different. Why don't you send me as a sacrifice so I can understand what they're going through. Let's not kill them. I didn't realize in the book of Genesis that God really wanted to kill what he created. He literally wanted to destroy us. And in reading that, I grabbed my heart. I was like, God, if you kill me now, oh, my God, where would I be? Where would I go? Because pain has had me so bound. Pain, a person that's in pain, we do things that is totally out of character. Totally.
Mm-hmm.
And so when Jesus said, send me as a sacrifice, it goes through the journey of him becoming and paying the atonement for our sins, bearing our pain, bearing our guilt, bearing our shame, taking it all in so that we could be healed, saved, and delivered. And when I saw the depth of his love on that cross, showing how much he loved me, that book changed my life, sis. But then it does a spin because he's having a conversation with a young lady in heaven who's there. And she said, and he tells her, I have to go first. And she said, well, no, I want to go with you. He said, it's not your time yet. And so when she is born, that's when a world of pain opens up for her. And then that pain drags her through hell. You'll read it in the book.
Wow. Your obedience of doing, you know, what you're told to do. Your obedience just so strong, and then you being that vessel to put these visuals out for people. That's exactly what it is. It's a visual, and us as humans, we gotta have that picture. We need that visual. I see the word. I read it. I hear what you're saying. I understand what you're saying. But when you have that visual, it does a whole nother thing for you.
It does. I have to share this with you, if you don't mind. The day that we put on the play, when we did the book premiere, there was a young man on the stage with us. And I remember going back by the dressing rooms because I was all over that stage. But he was one of our stagehands. And he had tears in his eyes. And I said, are you okay? He said, yes. He said, yeah, I'm okay. And he just stood back. And I didn't understand it, but I just kept moving. Well, later on, I got a message from one of the cast members who told me about this young man. And he went to prison at a young age, and he served like 18 years in prison. And so in prison, he was he went to the Islamic faith, and he said, and so that's what he knew, because he went to prison as a young boy. At the age of 16, he went to prison. And so he said when he saw that play, because in the play it shows the crucifixion. It shows Jesus being crucified for us. And when he saw that, he said that moved him to tears. And he said he just wept, and I saw the tears. So remember, I walked by him, and he said, when I saw that touched me so much, and I believe that Jesus really did die for me, because a lot of them don't believe that. They believe that he was just a prophet, but they said, I believe he died for me, and he gave his life to Christ that night. He gave God his heart that night. just seeing that portion of the play. It was so much to the play. But if we only did that play for one person, we did it in great numbers because the angels in heaven rejoiced on that night.
Mhm. Well, see, that one person, you don't know his crowd and where he was hanging around. So even though it was that one person that night, how many more people is he going to connect with when he, you know, go away from them? You know, he's not going to be able to bring everybody with him. He's going to have some that ain't going to want to touch him, but he's going to bring somebody with him.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
That's strong. So where can people find your book?
Oh, they could go to BarnesandNoble.com, Amazon.com, Apple, iTunes, and Google Play. They can also visit my website at www.shamelesslysaved.com.
Okay. Are you touring right now with your book, or what? Where are you right now?
Right now, we are getting ready to do the play again on October 30th at the Stafford Civic Center at 8 p.m. That's on a Friday night. I wanted to give people,
Which play is it?
Hello? Oh, we're going to do My Heart and the Holy Spirit.
Okay. And give us the location time again.
At the Stafford Civic Center in Stafford, Texas. I could pull up the address. I don't have it on me right now. But it's going to be at 8 p.m. It's on a Friday night, October 30th. And we set it at 8 p.m. just to give people time to get home. You know what Fridays are like. So.
Right. Okay, is there any events or anything leading up to the play to help promote it? Where can they, follow you?
Tell them to just go to the website. They'll see upcoming events, what we're going to be doing. We're going to do a bowl-a-thon because Shamelessly Saved Productions is a nonprofit organization. And so every book sold, it helps us to fund the play, because the play is not free, but it helps us to be able to fund the play. So I just take what God's given me and put it back into the ministry so that we can go forward and in reaching the masses.
Okay. Do you have any new plays or books that you're working on that we can expect in the near future?
Teenage Playground of Love. We're doing the second edition of that book. That should be coming out soon. However, the first edition is already out. They could go to Amazon.com and get that as well, or Shamelessly Saved Productions website, and they'll be able to pick up a copy there. And with that, right after we do My Heart and the Holy Spirit, we will be doing Playground of Love again. And so I'll keep everyone posted, again, going through the website.
Okay. And what if someone has an interest to be a part of the play, whether it's helping backstage or actually, actor or actress?
Oh, okay. They could hit me up on Facebook. They could hit me up on Twitter and or Instagram. Just type in My Heart and the Holy Spirit or Charmette Hill Jones, they'll be able to find me there as well.
Okay. And that's on the same on Facebook and Twitter?
Yes.
Okay. Well, tell me, real quick before we cut out, what and this is just, say some people, they started to write or they want to get into doing plays and they're not sure either what direction to go, or they just have something holding them back of, I'm not sure, or is this right, or what direction do I go? I mean, it's a basket full of what if. What can you say to them to say, get out that basket?
Well, first, you got to get out the basket, but focus. focus on one thing. Focus on what's your passion, and let's start there. And then we can build there. Again, if people want to know, because I've helped authors, I've helped actors, it doesn't matter. I am here to help, because if you believe that this is your platform, I'm here to serve. And so that's what we are here to do, is to serve one another. And so if they want some answers to their whys and what ifs and how, just hit me up again on those sites, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and I'll be happy to sit down and take the time and walk them through the process.
Wow. So everyone that's listening, be sure that you get with Charmette Hill-Jones. I mean, she has a platform. She pretty much, her hand is out. You just have to reach up and grab it to let her know that you need the help. And I'm going to encourage everybody to do that. If that's on your heart, and, you know, whether you want to be a part of her place or you just want to get your own thing going, please, you know, don't sit on it, because you have a gift of writing if you even started the process. So you really do need to share that. And, again, go through your social media and website again one last time for everyone.
Facebook, type in My Heart and the Holy Spirit. You'll find me there, or Charmette Hill-Jones. And My Heart and the Holy Spirit is pretty much, that's my tagline. So you'll be able to, you know, once you put that in, it'll pull me up.
Okay, and email address and website?
My email address is cljones@shamelesslysaved.com. And my website is www.shamelesslysaved.com.
Okay. Thank you again so much. If you did not catch that, you can always go back on blogtalkradio.com/gossiptalktx, and you can listen to the show again, get her information, connect with her on social media, or you can send us an email at gossiptalk_tx@yahoo.com. Thank you again, Charmette, for calling in and sharing your story. It's such a powerful story. And I wish you much success with your book and play. Absolutely.
Thank you.
Have a wonderful day.
You too.